둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you for making your way here, for checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button. You'll get to keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's three a week, in fact. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. We've had some great guests on lately, including Suzanne Vega, having her first new music in about a decade, I guess. Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, Sting, actress Kate Siegel, you know her from The Haunting of Hill House and Midnight Mass and all the Mike Flanagan movies. We talked with Casey Asbell and Finn Wittrock from the movie Don't Move, out now on Netflix. John Cleese of Monty Python, Black Francis from the Pixies, the cast of Shrinking on Apple TV+, Tony Hale from Arrested Development and Veep. He's back with A Woman of the Hour on Netflix. Depeche Mode were here, Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains, Les Claypool of Primus, Maynard James Keenan of Tool. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, we are going into the world of Citadel, a Spyverse, if you will. Now, the first season of Citadel, it premiered in 2013 on Prime as an action espionage series, traversing the globe, evolving the story of spy agency Citadel and its powerful enemy syndicate, Manticore. And it was a U.S. show. It was set with American actors, for the most part American actors, and in America. But it was only one piece of the story. Now, at the same time, filming at the same time around the globe were two other series. One in Italy called Citadel Diana, and one in India called Citadel Honey Bunny, all taking place at different timelines of the Citadel story, all with local crews in their native languages, and made for the native audiences, although, you know, subtitles, everybody can watch whatever they want to. But it's a really interesting thing, something I don't think has been done before. You have this amazing universe being set up all around the globe. And today we're going to be talking with those two other shows, Citadel Diana and Citadel Honey Bunny. In fact, that first one, Citadel Diana, it's set in Italy. I'm going to be talking with Matilda De Angelis, who portrays the titular character, Diana, and executive producer Gina Gardini. They'll reflect on the show's dual timeline structure and its independent yet interconnected narrative. Matilda is going to share the complexity of playing two versions of Diana, an orphan seeking the truth and an infiltrated spy in the near future, 2030. While Gina then emphasizes the importance of grounding the story in Italian culture, we'll talk about the show's visual style set in that near future, and a whole lot more. So that's where we're going to start. Honey Bunny's on the way, but right now, talking about Citadel Diana, it's Kyle Meredith with Matilda De Angelis and Gina Gardini.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Congratulations on this series here. What a beautifully shot and acted and sort of mind-blowing thing that you all are a part of. I should throw the congratulations first.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Let me start it because, you know, this spy universe, this spy verse is being built around us in real time here. Let's just start with the easy thing. Like, so who is Diana?
Diana. Well, actually, we have, I think, at least two Dianas in the show. So we have a young Diana, which is a young girl that becomes an orphan, unfortunately, and that from that moment on, her journey is to find the truth about the death of her parents. So, and then we have the 2030 Diana. A spy infiltrated in Manticore as a mole. And again, her journey of freedom and liberating herself from, I think, her trauma and Manticore, of course. So she's such a complex character. And I fell in love with her from the minute I met her. And it was an incredible journey for me to portray her, both of them.
Playing younger and older versions of any, I'm like, it's got to be a fun thing for any actor to do. But I also seeing like how you play. I guess I want to say, how do you want to play her? Because especially in once she's a spy, I mean, what's the line in the training? Shutting her emotions away, so remote, not even she'll know what she's feeling.
Yeah. Give me the goosebumps.
Oh, so when you're like kind of rolling into that side of her, like how did you want to do that? Because it feels like so much is just, you know, in your eyes that's happening.
Yeah, I remember when I was shooting my first movie ever, my director at the time told me, trust your eyes. Mm. And from that moment on, I always remember that sentence. So sometimes it's just feeling what you have to feel and believing in what you're feeling. And I think the spectator will know what you're feeling. What was interesting in that moment was that I needed to feel something and yet be able to hide it, you know, because that was the trick. So I really had to do it. And as an actress, it's such a strange... It's such a strange training in a way, you know?
And also props, because the very first scene, I mean, you have to shoot yourself like right away. Like, what an introduction to the world right here. is there a trick and a talent to learning how to be shot?
Well, no, I don't think so. You just go for it.
Not a lot of research you can do there, I would imagine.
No, I mean, the algorithm gets weird, I guess.
Right. Gina, for you, like, so here we are again, constructing this spyverse in real time, you know, in the original Citadel. Like, how important was it for you all to know that original series as something that's coming, you know, after it?
You know what? The idea of the three shows was that each show had to be independent of the other and it's sort of a standalone series. The only connectivity necessarily was the idea that it was set in this Citadel world where there were these two rival spy agencies vying for power. But beyond that, there was no pressure or diktat that we had to have any sort of interconnectedness. The idea was to make a uniquely Italian show, obviously set in the world of Citadel. But beyond that, you know, the sky was the limit. And that is just, you know, creative candy. It was really, really fun.
Has this ever been done before? Like it
no,
does?
And I think that's what, I mean, that was, that's what's so fantastic and compelling about being part of this overall project is that it really is something that hasn't been done before. Obviously, there are films that are part of a very specific universe where interconnectedness is fundamental. Here, it's sort of that idea has evolved. It's like, yes, there is this world, but there can be unique stories within this world that don't necessarily connect. And in fact, all three shows are set in different time frames and are very different stories.
Mm-hmm. Like, did you all talk about style? Because each one, of course, you know, being shot in its own silo carries its own style, but especially with this one sort of being a little bit futuristic, like, did you all talk about like what you wanted it to look like and how?
You know, the only thing that we talked about was the fact that for us, it was important to make a show that resonated with Italians and an Italian audience first and foremost, mm-hmm. and how important it was for us to be grounded and realistic and portray a near future that felt within reach and very, very plausible. And so that sort of dictated our tone and our style moving forward. And they loved that because they wanted everybody to sort of do their own thing stylistically.
But of course, it doesn't have to be just for the Italian audience. I mean,
No, no. Yeah. I mean, that was a starting off point. But having made several Italian shows that have traveled globally, you know, I think of Gomorrah, I think of 000. It's about their authenticity and staying true to their cultural identity that I think is what's so appetizing and exciting for international audiences. It's that insider view into a world you don't know. And so, again, the fact that it was set in a city that isn't as well known as sort of the Venice, Florence, Rome parts of Italy, mm-hmm. I think that was important too.
And Matilda, how long have you lived with Diana here? Because were you shooting multiple things at once? Because obviously you've got a lot of things coming out all at once at this point.
No. It would have been impossible. No, it was just Diana for 4 months, 5 months, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus 4 months of training, of stunt training, a whole summer.
Just to spend, you know, any amount of time like that in someone's head. Just, I guess what I'm saying is seeing everything that you have coming out, it just feels like it could be a bit of a ping pong of emotions that you might have to go through.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case.
I think it's always like that when you do this rightful job. So I feel that was actually the fun part for me and the challenging part for me. Something that I had never done before. And it was compelling, you know? Yeah.
Especially to develop your action, you know, to get deeper into action.
Of course. Yeah. I wanted to be able to do, most of my stunts because that was the unique part of the unique trait of the character. I mean, not the only one, but as an Italian actress, I don't get the chance to do something like that every day. You know what I mean? So while I was reading the script, I remembered, I want to do it. I want to do it right. So since I have passed as a gymnast, it was like a flashback.
Well, congratulations on the series again.
So
I'm looking forward to seeing where everything goes. And thanks so much for talking about it.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. Now let's turn the Citadel timeline all the way back to the 90s to talk about Honey Bunny with directors Rajan DK and actress Samantha. They're going to explain the approach that their installment, staying true to the original quirk that these directors have done before Rajan DK, while grounding the series in the 1990s with a visual motive, contrasting colors of noir-like elements. Samantha's going to discuss the excitement of playing an action-oriented role for the second time, developing her character, and even playing an actress within the show, an actress in an actress. They'll talk about the challenges of filming intricate scenes, such as a thrilling car fight, one of my favorite moments in the early episodes, and how they use these hacks to do, you know, low-budget filmmaking with these high-impact moments. So let's get into it, talking about Citadel Honey Bunny. It's Kyle Meredith with Rajan DK and Samantha.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Congratulations on just a beautiful new series and all the action and everything. I got nothing but compliments for you.
Thank you.
Raj DK, maybe we'll start with you all. How did this series get pitched? Because, you know, knowing that there's going to be, you know, you're going to be kind of the third in line of the release and everything, like, you know, do you have to pay attention to the original at all? I mean, how was it presented to you?
At that point, I think it was more of the world that they described us, that where the whole thing was set, the big plan. It was an extremely ambitious spread with various ideas and stuff. So we were listening to more about their story and the game plan. And we were trying to see where we can fit in and how to fit in and what kind of show or story we should be telling. And we thought it'd be nice to stick to our own, the way we make our movies and shows, and have a bit of quirk in it, have a some kind of an unexpected angle to it, and they loved it. They loved it right off the bat, and so we said, you know, so we started developing various ideas in that genre, you know, and we wanted to kind of take the frills, cut the frills out of the action genre, and make it more organic, earthy. Addition to this high-tech world.
And knowing that it's going to be, I don't know if prequel is the right word, but you said earlier in time, and then, I don't know, thinking about how, you know, Citadel Diana is so futuristic at 2030, do you all think about, like, how the bridge gets from one point to the other, you know, looking back at the 90s, but also into the future? I mean, does that part ever cross your all's mind?
It does constantly, right? As we write characters and design the plot, we also try to see where elements of American, Italian bits fit into our show. But we didn't have to go too far into it, even though it is cool to, you know, put some Easter eggs, have some connections, all that you can watch out for. But we were more focusing on creating a standalone show that can work even if you didn't watch anything else, because, you know, that's how we've been making shows in India, and we know the audience might or might not have watched other shows. So we wanted to have it like a standalone series that works for the local audience and then to the international audience.
Samantha, so this one takes us back to the beginning, right? Do I got the character names right? You're playing the mother of Nadia eventually?
Yes.
The fun part is watching you be an actress playing an actress at certain parts of it. Like, is there a challenge to that? Because to me, you've got to, like, you can't be a natural part of what you do. Like, what is it like to do the actress in an actress thing?
That was the easiest part, I think, in the in the series. It was just, I was just having fun. It was a little extra.
The only challenge for her was she had to be a bad actress. That was the challenge.
Thank you, DK.
I think that's what I'm thinking of too. It's like you almost have to turn yourself off a little bit.
I indulged myself a little. It was fun.
What was it like to develop, you know, being an action star?
Apparently, it's one of my hidden talents. I didn't know about it until The Family Man, which was my previous venture with Rajan DK. So it's really fun. It's challenging, but in such an exciting way. And I get to not let only the boys have the fun and get in on the action. And it's exciting.
And I feel like this one can, like, all four of you might have something to say about this, but there are certain scenes. Like, of course, they gave us the first two episodes to screen. There's the car fight scene. And I would love to know, like, what went into that, because it, you know, that's one of the most exciting things off of these. I mean, there's among many exciting moments, by the way, but especially that scene, like, for all of you all, like, what went into that scene right there? It's one of my favorites.
We were watching the first episode yesterday on the big screen, and that's the first time, I think pretty much first one of the few times you're going to get to watch it on the big screen. And we watched the series like some 84 times by now. So as we were watching in, and then this very familiar, popular old song, Hindi song, kicks in at that point. And even I got a bit excited thinking that's kicking in at the right point. And then once you go in, this mother who's been so protective with the daughter is, you know, tied up in the trunk, and then she's cutting through the back seat. And it worked. It worked really well for me yesterday when I was watching it on the big screen. And it had to be a one-er. It had to be a one take. And they had to get it right. She had to get it right. And we are low tech, so we have our ways of designing these things, because there is no fancy equipment that way that, you know, you could do something where the camera would go all those places it would and capture these movements in the exact right spot. So it's all, there's a word in India called jugaad, which means what, DK?
Hack. I would say it's a hack. We find hacks for everything. Like, whatever costs $1 million to do in Hollywood, we find a way to do it in like $100.
It's so, basically subverting the system.
In general, we had to find hacks as to how to create stuff, challenges for that we create for ourselves. That's what it was.
Yeah, and we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with. Like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with the team from Citadel Honey Bunny. Like, how much do you all talk about the style? Like, the split screen moments in there, you know, are definitely a mood. The big makeout scene, and it's you know, that what is it, like a yellow or orange light that's just, like, so beautifully put. Like, how much did you all talk about the style, and how would you define, you know, that?
I mean, a lot of the visual style of the film, I mean, I have to mention the DOP. He's a Danish guy called Johan. He has a very strange eye, I would say. Because I don't know how he sees these colors in his mind, but he comes up with this amazing frame. So part of the motif of the show is there is a cold and a warm in the same frame. Like, there is a blue and a orange, and that's in a lot of places. So it's almost like every frame, there's a dichotomy. Like, there's cold and there's warm, cold and warm. And that became the motif of the show. And because we were anyway set in a period, like a retro thing, it allowed us to a few more liberties we could take. For example, there's a lot of sodium vapor lamps, which has this warm, fuzzy, spread out feel, which also feels like you've gone back into a noirish kind of a zone at that point. So all these things, I mean, we've discussed at length, and there is a little sock kind of a thing that he puts on the lens to give a soft glow to the skin. So a lot of things have gone into it to make it look unique, special. We don't want to look like an old film. It still has to look like a very modern film to be watched today, but somehow convey to you a sense of that nostalgia or that retro feel.
And well done on all of that. And again, to all of you all, congratulations on this series. I'm in for it. I can't wait to see what comes next. Thank you all so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you.
And my thanks to Raj, DK, Samantha, Matilda De Angelis, and Gina Gardini. You can find Citadel, Citadel Diana, and Citadel Honey Bunny on Prime Video. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from Aretha Franklin, Neil Young, Spice Girls, Fanny, Lena Lovitch, Lauryn Hill, Bob Marley, Silverchair, Nicole Atkins, Jamila Woods, Joan Jett, Avery Sunshine, Yola, Lucero, Brett Denon, Love Spit Love, Amethyst Kia, Willie Nelson, Peter Gabriel, Donna Summer, and my interview with Natasha Rothwell. She's starring, she also wrote and directed the new Hulu series called How to Die Alone, which we got to talk all about. That's what you can get when you tune in starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.